You're listening to the Offsides podcast on KPEL965.com.
News Talk 96.5 KPEL, Brobridge, Lafayette, broadcasting from the Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management Studios, online at Matthew-James.com.
The debate over Dobbs. I'm Matt Napolitano, Fox News. Tomorrow marks 1 year since the Dobbs ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court that overturned Roe v. Wade, changing the landscape of abortion rights in the country. Democrats like House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries continue to cry foul.
The Dobbs decision restricted and limited and undermined freedom for women all across America.
While Republicans like South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham see the Dobbs decision as a means for a nationwide standard on abortion restrictions.
We're going to set a national minimum standard at 15 weeks to make sure we're not barbaric. I'm for federalism, but federalism doesn't require me to sit on the sidelines and watch our nation become China. I'm not going to do that.
Graham, among the conservative leaders addressing the Faith and Freedom Coalition summit today, several Republican presidential contenders addressing that summit in Georgia, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie using his time on stage to call out the frontrunner for the nomination, former President Trump.
He's unwilling to take responsibility for any of the mistakes that were made, any of the faults that he has, and any of the things that he's done. And that is not leadership, everybody. That is a failure of leadership. And you can boo all you want.
Trump will serve as keynote speaker at the Faith and Freedom Summit tomorrow night. A stretch of Interstate 95 in Philadelphia has been reopened to drivers just 12 days after a deadly tanker truck fire led an overpass to collapse, the temporary six-lane roadway accommodating vehicles until the construction of a permanent bridge. And a rough week for Wall Street, closing in the red again. The Dow Jones dipping 219 points, five straight losing days for the Dow. NASDAQ falls 138, the S&P drops 33. America's listening to Fox News.
Okay, next time you're at the store, I dare you to not think about the unmistakable fresh, clean scent of Irish Spring. Yeah, you heard me. I want you to resist picturing a shower filled with those sensational Irish Spring suds. And if you succeed, well, you got what my gramps used to call resolutitude. Not a real word, but let's be honest, you're probably going to end up leaving with Irish Spring because of its irresistible scent and because you have zero resolutitude. Pick up Irish Spring today.
If you're hiring, it can feel like trying to find a needle in a haystack. You can hope the right person comes along, or you can just use ZipRecruiter. Like Marco, president of operations at Telly Tires and Auto Centers.
ZipRecruiter helps me find all the right people, even the most difficult jobs to fill.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Now try ZipRecruiter free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/FREE.
New facts from the front lines about the dangerous drug xylazine, also known as Trank, that's now being cut with fentanyl.
New Jersey testing shows about a third of the illegal opiate supply contains xylazine, but less than 8% of fatal overdoses involved xylazine. One study shows people who overdosed on a combo of fentanyl and xylazine had lower rates of cardiac arrest and coma. But the wounds from xylazine can lead to amputation. In Philadelphia, more than 90% of lab-tested opiates contain xylazine, according to city figures.
Fox's Therese Crowley. The National Weather Service monitoring Tropical Storm Cindy, forming in the central Atlantic on the heels of Tropical Storm Brett. This marks the first time in recorded history that two tropical cyclones have formed east of the Lesser Antilles in the tropical Atlantic during the month of June. The heat index continues to soar into the triple digits across parts of Texas.
Next week is the real concern as we look to forecasted temperatures for all of next week to be well within the triple digits. And as heat index values or the real field temps reaching up to 120 degrees in some places. ERCOT, the agency in charge of the state power grid, has issued now a weather watch alert from this Sunday through next Friday. However, the leaders say they do expect enough in reserves to handle the anticipated demand. For now, it is holding. No controlled black or brownouts to report, thankfully, despite record demand for June.
Fox's Casey Stiegel in Dallas, where the heat is being blamed for the death of a 66-year-old mail carrier who collapsed along his route. The NFL scheduling a special meeting for July 20th to potentially vote on the sale of the Washington Commanders to a group led by Josh Harris. That group will purchase the franchise from Dan Snyder for a record $6 billion, $5 million. I'm Matt Napolitano. This is Fox News.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
The views expressed in the following show are those of the hosts or hosts only. They do not represent News Talk 96.5 KPL or Town Square Media.
What's up, Acadiana, and welcome to Shannon Is Offsides. I'm Shannon Wilkerson here with Kevin Stockstill. Thanks for joining us for today's broadcast. We'll be with you until 6 o'clock. It's currently 4:08, taking you home live and local on KPEL 96.5 FM. Kevin Stockstill, welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
It's been 2 weeks.
It has been 2 weeks.
How's everything in court?
Well, actually, this week I moved offices.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I went back out on my own solo practice. So I've been moving, and so that's been it.
You're back to independence.
Back to independence.
Okay. No partners.
Not right now, no.
Okay.
And don't envision any.
What about me?
Well, yeah, go to law school. We'd have a ball.
Do I really have to?
Yes.
Damn. Okay. You know, in California, you don't have to have a law degree to sit for the bar.
It used to be that way in Louisiana.
Yeah. I think they should bring that back. Well, I don't know if I told you my opinions about law school. And
yes.
Yeah.
It should be free.
It should be free. You know, the courts belong to us and the law is ours. But I also believe that if you can pass the test, if you can get through the bar, then you should be able to practice law. And but that's just my opinion.
Well, and back in the day, lawyers did everything. You know, and so you could actually work for a lawyer and get the full exposure to all of the law, which would probably prepare you for the bar exam. But now
I'm not sure what you mean when you say that they did everything. Lawyers did everything.
Well, they didn't specialize.
There was general attorneys.
Yeah, you were general. You know, so you did wills and trusts and divorce and a personal injury case here and there. I mean, you did everything.
Yeah.
And so you were exposed to all different kinds of law, but.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
I made that mistake many years ago. And I've told many friends that were seeking legal help, okay, representation. And I said, listen, spend the extra money and get somebody that specializes specifically in what you're doing. Because in the long run, you'll save money because they already know how to do it.
Yeah.
There's actually less hours because it's all they do.
I don't have to go look it up.
That's exactly right.
And relearn it.
Yeah. You don't go to a general surgeon to have brain surgery.
Right.
You know, so, that's good advice. That's really good advice.
Yeah.
Now, I see the need for a general attorney.
Yeah.
You know, contracts, even wills, things like that. But when it comes to defense attorneys or bankruptcy attorneys, it's always better to spend the extra money because you will save money.
Yes. And it's always good to reach out to a lawyer, even though that's not their specialty. And get a recommendation because we know who, you know, the advertising, that doesn't tell us who a good lawyer is.
No, that's how I met you, as you may recall, through a mutual friend that was an attorney.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would encourage anybody that, you know, although I don't only really do criminal defense.
Yeah.
But you can call me and I will tell you who the good family lawyers are, who the good personal injury lawyers are, who the good bankruptcy lawyers are.
Yeah, you've done that with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we know.
Yeah.
We know.
Well, now here we are.
Yes.
You know, all these years later, you're still an attorney. I'm still free. And so look at us. We win.
Yeah.
Okay. But I've always wanted to be an attorney. I think I would like certain aspects of it. The part that I would not like is there's so much reading and writing. There's a lot of reading and writing, and the alcoholism. You know, there's a lot of alcoholics.
No, we have probably one of the highest rates of depression and alcoholism and drug addiction in of the professions.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a group that is there to support lawyers in that who have that issue. So,
well, all you do is deal with problems.
Well, that too, you know.
You know, I mean, for the most part, even family lawyers, I guess the only attorney, the only law, not the only, but the one that comes to mind first is, you know, contracts.
Yeah.
Contracts, wills, and things like that.
Well, the happiest lawyers, and I don't know if you could make a specialty out of it, but I had an attorney say this, that he loved his adoption cases, you know.
I like that.
Because you go in and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Someone's adopting a child, and I mean, it's just... He would be so happy at the end of that representation. Yeah, if you could just specialize in adoption.
I can see that.
You would be a happy lawyer.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Yeah. Other than that.
You know, maybe forming businesses. You know, everybody's in a good mood at that point.
Yeah, yeah. But then they come back a year later broke.
With a bankruptcy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, so you could do both.
Yeah.
You know, I start and finish businesses, you know. And so it reminds me of a docudrama that came out many, many years ago. And actually, the lead role was guy from Friends. Surprisingly good. And he is a plastic surgeon.
Schwarmer? Was it David Schwarmer?
Who's that?
The guy from Friends.
I don't know.
Okay. With the black hair.
Anyway. I think that's him.
Okay.
Okay. And he plays this plastic surgeon. And this is in like the mid-70s or so. And he and his partner are the first or one of the first plastic surgeons that did breast augmentation. And they can't get any business. He said, man, we need to advertise. And his partner was like this old school, you know, attorney. And he said, attorneys don't advertise. And he said, I'm telling you, we need to advertise this. Well, in a short period of time, they were wealthy beyond any dreams that they had. They were booked solid for all these women that wanted breast implants, all right? And everything's going fine, la-di-da. But then the silicone starts bursting.
Oh, boy.
Okay, and now they're bankrupt. Everybody hates them.
Right.
Okay, and they don't know what to do. They're bankrupt. They're done because all these women are terribly sick.
Yeah.
Because and now the silicone is all through their body.
And they had a massive class action.
Massive. Well, then he has a client or he's a surgeon. He had a patient that comes to him that had the breast implants from him in the past, but they had not burst or anything yet. And she says, I need him taken out. I just have to get him taken out. Please take him out. He says, okay. So he takes him out. Then he gets a payment from the insurance company. Okay. You know, he was making just as much taking these breasts out as he was putting them in. So then he starts advertising, hey, we can take them out.
Yeah.
And same thing. And his business explodes once again. Now he's back to being rich. Huh. And most of the women, or at least some of the women, were so furious because he was the same surgeon that put them in.
Right.
You know, so they're like, wait a minute, I had to pay you to put them in. Now I got to pay you to take them out. And he's like, yeah, you do.
Yeah.
And now he's wealthy again. And at the very end of the movie, he's driving along in his convertible Corvette and a dump truck runs him over.
Oh, wow.
Kills him instantly. I don't know what led me to that story, but something with the law. Oh, the businesses.
Yes.
We'll start your business and we'll finish your business. Yeah, you know, pay one price.
Start and finish.
Yeah. So you
what
see
the name of it? Do you remember?
Pardon me?
Do you remember the name of the?
No, but I'll Google it at the break and I'll let you know.
Okay.
Great movie. LSU.
Yes.
You're an alumni.
I am an alumni.
Okay.
And so I was there back in the day when, like, Lyle Mouton, who went to St. Thomas More.
Yeah.
A classmate of mine was playing at LSU, and they were winning national championships back then. This was in the 90s.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, I was a big, big college, LSU college baseball fan. So
yeah. Now, did you get your undergrad there?
I did.
Okay. Stayed for law school.
Yeah. No,
you went to Loyola.
Yes.
Okay.
Went to New Orleans for law school.
Okay. All right. That's when the real trouble started.
Also, cousin, speaking of LSU baseball, Mikey Matuk played.
That's right.
This last time they won a national championship, he was a freshman. So
I've got good feelings about this time.
Yeah, it's
I really do.
Get some revenge on Florida. They beat us in the championship a few years ago.
Okay, we're going to win.
I think so.
Okay, payback, that means something.
Yes, it does.
Okay, I'd be more skeptical about facing them right now had we beat them before.
Yes.
Now, some people say, oh, but they own you when they already beat you. Not really. But anyway, very exciting. Game one's tomorrow. Looking forward to it. And I'll be cheering you on.
Yeah, good.
You know, being an alumni and everything.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so it's Friday. It's 4 o'clock. Is it legal? All right. Very interesting broadcast every Friday with Kevin Stockstill because we discuss lawsuits and we discuss issues, legal issues. And a lot of times I will just have some questions for Kevin asking him, is this legal? And if it's not legal, let's talk about why it might not be legal. Because some of it's quite interesting. Most of it's entertaining. You know, like last week I asked Hippie Hannah, is it legal or is it illegal for you to swim in the ocean or rather in the Gulf in Florida and sing? Not legal. You know, now I don't know how or if they've ever enforced that.
Well, I'm going to be in Florida next weekend for the 4th, and I am going to get into the ocean and I'm going to sing at the top of my lungs.
I think so.
Let's see what happens.
Send me the video, okay, and we'll put it all over social media taunting the police. I dare you, okay? I dare you to come arrest this defense attorney.
Let me drink a few and God. I'll head out to
see. Well, I think we could depend on that.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to ask you the first question. And then we're going to take a break. And the phone lines will be open when we return at 232-1542 if you have a question for Kevin Stockstill. But let me be clear that if you do call Kevin, that he is not officially giving legal advice over the air. Okay, so if you listen to his opinion and then it turns out to be a different outcome, you can't go after him. Okay, got to leave the guy alone, for Christ's sake. All right, here it is. You ready?
Ready.
Is it legal to be naked in your house with the drapes open? Okay, so I'm in my house, okay? And I'm in my living room, naked, which I never do, okay? But the drapes are open. So anybody walking past my house can see my naked body. Now, most of them would laugh, okay? Mm-hmm. But I might gather a crowd. Not for the right reasons. Nevertheless, I'm naked in the privacy of my own home, all right? And I'm not standing in the window waving to people, all right? I just happen to be walking around in my house naked. And the drapes are open for anybody that's driving by or walking by. If they look into my window, they have to actively look to see it, and they see me naked. Is that legal?
I think so. The obscenity law might apply,
okay.
But the obscenity law would require you would basically want to be exposing yourself.
Standing in the window waving.
That would definitely be a problem.
I would think so.
And so, you know, there's going to come a point in time when we're going to go from a clear, bright line, like standing in the window and waving, to... Now we're going to get to a grayer issue, and then I guess we'll get to the other side, which is, you know, clear cut, not obscenity.
Yeah.
But I guess it's going to depend, you know, a lot on how many times this is occurring. You know,
it occurs all the time. I like being naked.
Whether you know that it's drawing a crowd, it's just being in your home though is not enough to raise a defense.
Okay.
It's
fair.
That's
enough.
That's not just a clear cut. As long as I'm in my house, I can do what I want. No,
it's not that simple.
The obscenity law can still apply.
Would it depend on how far you are from the window?
That would be a factor.
I would think
you
so.
Know, where you're going, where you're coming from. You know, I mean, if I'm walking from one room to the other.
Yeah.
You know.
What if you're 10 feet, 12 feet from the window, okay, and you're dusting, okay. And you're facing away from the window, but you have to bend over, okay? You have to bend over to dust this damn coffee table, okay?
Yeah.
And you're about 10 or 12 feet from the window, and I just happen to be walking by.
Yeah.
And I see you naked bending over.
You know, I mean, 10 feet in the house coupled with I have to look into the house, you know, because, you know, we're really not supposed to look into people's houses.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I guess it's kind of hard.
But from the sidewalk, I mean, you're not a peeping Tom from the sidewalk.
You know, I'll lift my blinds, and if the TV's on and the lights are on, I mean, you can see into my house.
Oh, yeah. I stare in the window frequently.
So, you know, that's a close call, but, you know, being that far into the house.
Yeah.
And it requiring that additional element that, you know, I really have to look in there to see.
Yeah.
I think we're getting away from the obscenity.
Yeah. Level. So the distance, I would imagine.
A lot of factors. Distance, yeah. What you're doing. You know, as you said before, you know, standing in the window, you're clearly exposing yourself.
Yeah. Like cleaning the window.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, that's cleaning the window is not going to cut
it. Not going to cut it at all. All right. Very interesting. I'll keep that in mind the next time I'm never going to do that. Okay? I'm never going to do that. I don't want to get too personal, but I can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as I get out of the shower, I have to get dressed immediately. I'm home alone.
Right.
Okay? But there's just something not comfortable about. All right. We'll be right back.
News Talk 96.5 KPL, broadcasting from the Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management Studios. Find out more about how they can help you at matthew-james.com.
Welcome back to Shannon Is Offsides. Is it legal with Kevin Stockstill? Every Friday from 4 to 6. All right, so we've established in the first segment that you can't stand in the window of your home with the drapes open naked. But you can maybe be way over there. Fair enough?
Yep.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, welcome to Shannon Is Offsides. Who's calling? Caller, you there?
Hello? Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
You hear? Mm-hmm. This is my first time calling it, but basically listening to your last segment, I kind of had a situation in a neighborhood in Lafayette near Red Laurels where a new neighbor moved in, and although I built a new fence, when they, you know, they expand and then they close up, the neighbor that moved in stays naked in his yard all the time. So I looked it up, and there was a case in New Orleans. Same thing, leaving the drapes open, and basically did arrest him and say it wasn't allowed.
Well, that's so, so let's expand on that, okay, with Kevin.
Okay.
Kevin.
Yeah.
All right, I'm in my backyard, okay? I'm sunbathing, naked. I've got a 5-foot wooden fence. The only way anybody can see over the fence is if they approach the fence and look up over it. I'm not exposed at all unless you intentionally look over the fence. What are your thoughts?
I guess if it requires the act of having to look over the fence.
Yeah.
We may not. But you know, you can see through the cracks.
The cracks are full.
Like I said, the fence is built very tight. But when they shrink up, when they dry out, all of a sudden there's these cracks. So when he's walking back and forth, it's just real obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, he exposed himself to my wife. Actually, he probably did a little more than that he was doing to himself. So I looked it up. Anyway, finally, what I had to do was cut boards into three pieces and seal every crack so it looks like board back. But again, he stays naked in his yard. The only last time I saw him was when I was blowing leaves out of my gutter. So I didn't do anything about it, but finally blocked what I was seeing. But I tried to call him to the fence 2 or 3 times to tell him he's exposed himself to my wife. And finally just had to get rid of it by covering the cracks.
Oh, wait. All right. So, all right.
Well, exposing to the wife is obscenity.
Even if you're just walking around in the backyard.
I mean, you know.
And that's what I told them. Told the man.
All right. Now here's a scenario.
It was about to get out of hand.
Yeah. Here's the scenario, Kevin. Hold on. Here's the scenario. I'm in my backyard. I have a fence that's completely solid, like a metal fence. It's got no cracks, or brick fence. It's a 12-foot fence. None of this 5-foot crap. It's 12 feet up in the air. Nobody can see unless they get a ladder. But my next door neighbor is a two-story house. Okay, you get it?
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm in my bedroom, you know, enjoying a nice afternoon. And I open the drapes and I can easily see down into my neighbor's house, backyard, because the fence does not obstruct my view. And I see this guy is dangerously weed eating while he's naked. Okay. Now, but you see my point. Or he's just, okay, so that would be very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's a close call, but, you know, it's a close call, and I would encourage, if that were my client, I'd say, I just wear something. Please, you need to wear something.
Yeah.
Because you know there's a window up there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just getting, why put yourself in that position? It's getting dangerously close.
Yeah. You can put on a G-string.
And then, you know, you got, well, hey, that's my
problem. Picture this, 68 years old, maybe 70-something years old, about 100 pounds overweight.
I don't want to picture that.
Not real pretty.
Okay, I don't want to picture that. Okay. All right, interesting case.
That even makes it more obscene.
Right. That's exactly right. And, you know, that becomes very subjective. All right? If you're a young goddess of a body, okay? Or if you're a woman, okay? A beautiful woman walking around in her backyard, and the male neighbors have no problem with it. But the wives are not happy.
Mm, yeah.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Hey, welcome, Shannon is Offsides. Who's calling?
Chris,
what you got for Kevin Stockstill?
Well, I live in the country on 5 acres, and I bought it specifically so I could do what I want to do. And I used to sunbathe naked on my pool. Nobody could see us. I finally got my wife to go out there and do it with me. Well, guess what? A crop duster flies around, she just starts circles looking at us. She said, that was the last time she sunbathed naked.
I guess it was.
I mean, come on, crop duster. But I mean, well, that was perfectly okay when you're living out in the middle of the country and you don't have any neighbors.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, you couldn't be charged with peeping Tom from a plane.
Right. But, you know.
And he flies low. Every time he crop dusts, I see him looking to see if we're out there again.
Well, yeah. I mean, you set the bait. Okay. You set the bait.
He was looking at me more than her, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, we live in a different world now.
Let's look at Peeping Tom real quick.
I think you have to
look into someone's home for it to be Peeping Tom.
Yeah. And same thing, like what we were talking about. What equals... Hey, thanks for the call. All right, so that's my next question. What equals Peeping Tom? How close do you have to be to the window? Okay, do you just have to be on the property? Do you have to have your face right up against the window?
No, well, it's... And I've had my fair share of these, I can promise you. So,
Peeping Toms?
Defending Peeping Toms, yeah. So it means one who peeps through windows or doors or other like places situated on or about the premises of another, somebody else's house.
Uh-huh.
For the purpose of, so we got an intentional element, spying upon or invading the privacy of persons spied upon without the consent of the person spied upon. So crop duster is not...
No, I don't think so. All right, I'm walking by your house, okay? I hear a scream, okay? I heard a scream, all right? Someone might be in trouble. I walk up to the window, and I peep in, and I realize what the reason for the scream was. It wasn't because someone was in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay? And they see me looking in, and I'm like, wait, I thought someone was in trouble. And then they call the police. The police come out, and I'm like, look, I heard a scream. I knocked on the door. No one answered. I thought that someone was in trouble, so I looked in the window. That's a rough one.
Well, I think you're good because the purpose of you looking in the window was you're not spying upon or invading the privacy of persons.
Yeah.
Your purpose was you thought someone needed help. That would be your defense.
All right. Pretty good. Hey, welcome to Shannon's Offsides. Who's calling?
Josh.
Josh, what do you have for Kevin Stockstill?
I'm a CDL driver, Class A. Me and a car sideswiped each other, and the cop gave me a ticket for improper lane change. I was just wondering, how hard would that be to get that to a non-moving violation?
Well, that happens a lot, both improper lane changes with accidents and those charges being amended to non-moving violations. It's been my experience in courts that when I represent a client, if I could cross a few hurdles, I can sometimes get a improper lane change with an accident amended to a non-moving violation. And so the first is that the person who was involved in the accident, the other person, is not opposed to it. And number two, the second hurdle is that I had sufficient insurance to cover any of the damages that occurred as a result of the accident. And so if those two things are present, if those two hurdles are crossed, then in at least in my experience, in most cases, we've been able to plea bargain the case from improper lane usage to some type of non-moving violation.
All right.
Because that's like my first ticket in 10 years.
Well, that helps too, that you don't have.
I was just wondering, I don't know if I could just pay the ticket or if I should just go to court and try to, you know, fight it or whatever.
Well, I would suggest you go to court and if you can get in touch with your insurance company and see, you know, hopefully they're taking the position that they're going to accept liability for the accident and take care of the other person's damages. And so, you know, if that happens and you're prepared and have that information with you, the prosecutor may consider, you know, amending, you know, to a non-moving violation. Because obviously, you know, it's one thing for me, you know, to get involved in an accident, but someone who makes a living driving and has a commercial driver's license, I mean, it can seriously impact, you know, your insurance and things of that nature. So give it a shot. It's possible.
Well, man, I appreciate it. Love the show, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck.
Hey, welcome to Shannon is Offsides. Who's calling? Call, are you there?
Yeah. I have a question regarding drones flying over your property. Didn't Louisiana just recently pass a few years ago about a drone that if it flies over, let's say, your wooden fence, looking at, you know, hovering there, looking at your stuff, don't you have a right to shoot it down or some kind of way to, you know, get rid of it?
I'm not familiar with that law. We're going to have to look, but I mean, that sounds reasonable. I don't know as far as, I mean, I think it's very unreasonable and would be illegal for someone to use a drone to fly over and look into your, you know, backyard.
Mm-hmm. And it would be illegal to fire, to shoot a firearm if you're in the city limits.
But if you
live out in the country,
yeah,
okay, and you can walk right outside and target shoot from your front porch,
yeah,
now you're not discharging a firearm illegally.
Well, if you discharge a firearm and it's reasonable, you know, that human life could be endangered, then you got to, you know,
well,
you
got
a problem. What I meant by shooting it down is like a slingshot or something, you know, like throw a stick at it and knock it, you know, hit it in that way, it would disable it, whatever. But the thing is my question is I would think that they wouldn't have a right to come after you to replace the drone since it happened in your yard.
Hmm.
I mean, it does seem like an invasion of someone's privacy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, drones are being able to see things that normally the human eye can't. You know,
it's incredible technology.
It really is.
And, you know, they've got drones now that have technology. They won't crash. They won't run into things. If you're not able to pilot it back, it will return on its own. Really, really fantastic technology. But you're right. You know, if somebody comes hovering over your property, even if they're not on your property, let's say that they're over the property line, or right at the property line, and there's no other home in the area, so it's clear that they are looking at you and your property. I think that all of those would play a pretty good role. Thanks for the call. Interesting. Hey, welcome to Shannon's Offsides. Who's calling?
Hey, so I got an answer for that lady that was asking about the drones.
Okay.
So I actually dealt with this. I had a neighbor. He was flying drones over my backyard, and I called the sheriff's office on them to see if that would, if you know, I could do whatever to knock it down. And they said, no, you can't because we don't, you don't own the airspace technically. He said, yeah, as long as he's not bringing the drone to your window or looking inside your house, he can technically fly that thing wherever he wants. But you'd have to be able to prove that he's actually looking at certain things on your property.
Hmm.
I think he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you, if you destroy the drone, then you have a criminal damage to property issue. So you don't want to do that.
Yeah. On, I mean, the other
it's
hand,
looking like there's law that says, you know, there's like, I can't use a drone to, like, you know, look at certain sensitive sites, you know,
mm-hmm,
and things like that. But it doesn't look like it applies to, you know, private property owners. And
but consider this. We do own, correct me if I'm wrong, we do own the airspace up to a certain level above our property. I believe that's the truth, because if, in fact, let's say you live next door to me, all right, and I have a tree in my backyard or in my front yard, and that tree grows and is hovering over the property line of your property, it's my responsibility legally to cut that tree back to where it's not hovering over your property. And the reason, correct, for that, I believe, is because you own that airspace from your property line up.
Well, if you're correct that you do own airspace up to a certain height above your property, then, mm-hmm, if the drone was within that airspace, it would be trespassing.
Okay.
And what's crazy is, though, is you have to actually be able to prove it in order for them to do anything, which is like, so, I mean, the way I was told is there's all, it's all, even though you have the deed to your house, and it does show a certain amount of airspace that you have, but you still have to be able to show that you own any airspace above any of that level. You get what I'm saying?
So yeah, well, if the drone is just, let's say, 100 feet in the air, 50 feet in the air, so it's clear, it's clearly visible, and it is above your house, and you video that, now it seems like you've got some proof. It just depends on how high up, I think, the altitude needs to be, because I mean, I was faced with that with a neighbor of mine years ago. He had a tree right up against the fence in the backyard, and that the branches were coming over, and it was actually the branches were pushing on the fence, my fence. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Hey, look, man, you gotta cut these branches back." He refused to do it, and I called. I may have called zoning. I don't remember who I called, and they confirmed it. They said absolutely, and I sent them a certified letter, and I referenced the ordinance. And not only did he have to cut it, he had to haul it all away. He had to hire a company that came into my property and haul it all away.
Yeah, well, there's pretty plenty of cases on that. This is, you know, this is new ground because of this airspace issue. And then, you know, hell, I can go pretty high with the technology. You know, I could probably go 200 feet above your house. And with the technology that they have, I'm still going to get a crystal clear picture of your backyard.
Easily.
You know?
Hey, go ahead, sir. Wrap it up.
There is a loophole, though, to where if she wanted to, I don't know if she wants to, but drones can only weigh so much before they actually have to have a pilot's license.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she might, if she can get a video and know which neighbor it is, send it into the FFA, the FFA might be able to do something. But, I mean, I hope I kind of helped her with an answer, because I did deal with this one. So, but thanks, guys, for taking it.
Hey, great question.
Thank you.
All right. Is it legal with Kevin Stock? Still lots of good questions coming in. You're welcome to join in at 232-1542. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dale Brown, best-selling techno-thriller author. I'm also a mission pilot and squadron commander in the Civil Air Patrol. The members of the Civil Air Patrol are volunteer professionals who serve their communities and their nation every day with emergency services, aerospace education, and cadet programs. We train hard, we fly hard, and we get the job done for America. Join the Civil Air Patrol. Visit www.GoCivilAirPatrol.com and let's go flying.
Welcome back to Shannon is Offsides, everybody. Is it legal with Kevin Stockstill every Friday from 4 to 6? Got Kevin in right now. Lots of good calls so far.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah. The naked in your home issue has, we've
if expanded.
It's probably the most calls we've had.
That's what I mean. We went from can you be naked in your house with the drapes open to what happens if you're in your backyard naked.
Yeah.
To what happens if you're in your backyard naked with a 20-foot fence, but your neighbor has a second floor.
Right.
To what if you're in your yard naked and someone's flying a drone.
Right.
I think we wore it out.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Let's move on. Here's my next question for you. All right. Is it legal to perform major car repairs on a city street in legal parking spot? My car is in the front of my house. It's totally legal to park there. It's facing in the right direction, which, by the way, I got a ticket for one day. Okay, right in front of my house, parked on the street, facing in the wrong direction. That's from a whiny Karen neighbor, no doubt. But my car is parked legally right in front of my house, and I want to change the transmission out. Okay? I'm going to do all of the work on the sidewalk side of my car. So in no way am I blocking traffic by working on my car from the side of the car that has me out into the street. Okay? I'm working only underneath the car and on the side of the car where my property is. Is this legal?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think it's legal. Not on the street, even though it's parked legally.
I don't know. I would argue that.
I think you know, an oil change or minor repair.
Like,
you know,
changing a tire.
You could do that in your driveway. Well, and of course, you know, if you've experienced a tire issue, I mean, you have no choice but to fix it on the side of the road.
Right.
But, you know, minor repairs, I think, can be done in a driveway or garage. But I don't think you can repair vehicles on a street, even though it's parked legally in the front of your house.
I was always wondering about that. I remember when I was a teenager, I had a truck that broke down in a Time Saver parking lot. Time Savers, like Circle K, old school New Orleans Time Savers. And I had to trade out, I believe it was the water pump. And no, the fuel pump. It wasn't as big of a job as the water pump. And I got to ride over to the car parts shop. This is before Pep Boys and O'Reilly and all those. But I got the part, went back over there, crawled up underneath the truck, got my tools. About an hour later, I traded it out, drove away. No one said a word to me. Okay, and I was worried about that. I was like, man, what am I going to do? I couldn't afford to get it towed. I'm just going to do it. Okay, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to get busy. And I'd rather ask for forgiveness than permission. And no one said a word to me about it. But that was a job that I could do in an hour, 2 hours max.
Right.
I'm talking about like a, you know, an engine's overhaul.
Right.
Or whatever. Can't do that.
Well, and the only law I could really find on it, I couldn't really find anything specific to Louisiana. California, it looks like, has a lot of law on it. So that must have happened a lot in California. People were just, you know, fixing their own cars in the street.
Yeah.
So it's definitely prohibited there.
Yeah. Well, California, I mean, you can't fix your car in the street. But you can do heroin in the street.
Yeah.
You can defecate in the street. Okay. You can live in the street. You can pop a tent. Okay. You get it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, don't go fixing your car.
Look, man, they've got their priorities straight.
You know,
okay. You could probably stand in your window naked in California as long as you're doing heroin.
Right. Well, the mechanics and the tow truck drivers must have a strong lobby in California.
I guess so. All right, very good. All right, let's go to another question. What age Is it illegal to have a child out of the car seat? Okay, so you have a toddler. You have to have the child in the car seat, okay? The designated child seat, all right? Mm-hmm. At what point can you take the child from that seat and put it in a regular seat with a seatbelt?
Like a booster with a seatbelt?
Nope. You just go from a child's seat, okay, like a toddler,
yeah,
to a regular seat. Just sitting in the car on the chair with the seatbelt on.
No, I don't think you can do that.
Yeah, but when can you?
Well,
you see what I mean? There must be a time.
If you've outgrown the forward facing seat,
okay,
then you graduate to a booster seat.
Okay.
Which is, you know, kind of props you up.
So it's in between.
It's in between.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like a little, you know, it has a little armrest on it. We used to have one.
Okay.
And it's, you know, their behind is not sitting on the actual car seat. It's sitting on the booster.
So it's more about the child's size than the age.
It is.
Okay. So if you've got an unusually, if you're a child,
big kid.
If you have a big kid or a smaller kid,
yeah.
A smaller child, or the child just hasn't hit its normal growth spurt. It might end up being a normal size adult.
Yeah.
So it's more the size of the child, not necessarily the age.
I think so, but I think if the child is under four, I mean, unless it's so big that it can't fit into a forward facing child seat, and then yeah. I don't know. It's been a long time since I went and bought a forward facing child seat. I don't even remember if they have different sizes and how big of a child. 3-year-old you can put in a forward-facing seat, but
yeah.
Between 4 and 9, they can go to booster, and then children over 9 have to wear the standard
regular seatbelt.
Yeah,
but it's also subject to the size of the child. I mean, like Andre the Giant, you know,
sure
he was like 4 and a half, he was like 5 feet tall when he was
sure
4 years old.
A big child.
He was a big child. Just yeah. Thus the term giant.
Yeah.
You know, so
you might have had to put him in a booster. He might have He might have gone straight from forward facing to the chair to
yeah.
driving.
I mean, for real,
right?
Shaq.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know, I don't imagine shit. Shaq was in a booster.
Yeah. He might have got to switch.
I think so. All right, we're out of time for the 4 o'clock hour. We will be back with Kevin Stockstill in the 5 o'clock hour. Is it legal? Be ready to tune in and be welcome to call in at 232-1542 as soon as we return.
News Talk 96.5 KPL, Bro Bridge, Lafayette. Broadcasting from the Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management Studios, online at matthew-james.com.
Remain about a deadly dive. I'm Rich Dennison, Fox News. The investigation continues into the submersible implosion that killed 5 as they were diving near the wreckage of the Titanic.
The U.S. Navy confirms that acoustic technology picked up sounds consistent with an implosion of a submersible shortly after the Titan submersible lost contact with the surface. And that information was forwarded to the incident commander of the multinational search. Now, there still are assets out at the search site about 400 miles south of where we are now. The remote operated vehicles we know from the Coast Guard were still in operation, but no decision has been made yet if the wreckage of that Titan submersible will be pulled up to the surface and salvaged.
Fox's Mike Tobin in St. John's, Canada. Attorney General Merrick Garland denies whistleblower allegations that Hunter Biden received special treatment, saying the U.S. Attorney David Weiss, who was appointed by former President Trump, had full authority over that case.
I asked Garland about this assertion that Weiss was told to stand down, and here's what he says.
Mr. Weiss has since sent a letter to the House Judiciary Committee confirming that he had that authority. I don't know how it would be possible for anybody to block him from bringing a prosecution, given that he has this authority.
Garland mentions a letter. Now, it's a letter to Congressman Jim Jordan from June 7th, just a few weeks ago. Weiss insisted he was fully in charge of the probing since the beginning. The letter reads in part, quote, "I have been granted ultimate authority over this matter," end quote. Now, Hunter Biden will plead guilty to two misdemeanor tax offenses.
Fox's David Spunt in Washington. The Supreme Court rejecting a Republican-led challenge to a Biden administration policy that prioritizes the deportation of immigrants who are deemed to pose a greater risk to public safety or were picked up at the border. Republicans say the policy is too limiting. America's listening to Fox News.
That's Mike saying good morning. It's the best he can do right now. Yeah, not a cloud in the sky. What Mike could use is a fresh start. And Irish Spring Body Wash. The fresh scent of Irish Spring and those sensational Irish Spring suds are just the reset Mike needs. Now he's ready
to go to work.
It's Sunday. Irish Spring. When the spring hits you, you're ready. Pick up Irish Spring today.
If you're hiring, it can feel like trying to find a needle in a haystack. You can hope the right person comes along, or you can just use ZipRecruiter. Like Marco, president of operations at Telly Tires and Auto Centers.
ZipRecruiter helps me find all the right people, even the most difficult jobs to fill.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Now try ZipRecruiter free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/FREE.
Ukraine continues to push forward with a counteroffensive against Russia's invasion.
13 Russian cruise missiles were launched overnight at a military airfield in southwestern Ukraine. Ukrainian air defenses shot all down. This as experts assess damage to a key bridge linking Russian-occupied Crimea with the mainland following an apparent Ukrainian missile attack, part of an attempt by Kyiv to disrupt Russian supply lines. President Zelensky is now warning Moscow is getting ready to trigger a radioactive incident at Ukraine's Zaporizhia nuclear plant. UN Nuclear Watchdog Agency Chief Rafael Grossi is in Russia today. A top Ukrainian official tells Fox News that Russian defenses are tough, but when military moves step up, Kyiv will be one step closer to victory. In Kyiv, Greg Malkon, Fox News.
California officials notifying state retirees and other beneficiaries about a data breach that exposed names, birth dates, and social security numbers. It affected 769,000 members of the California Public Employees Retirement System. That breach was connected to a Russian ransomware gang that has compromised information at the U.S. Department of Energy and other federal agencies. A major automaker preparing for another round of layoffs.
Shifting from gas to electric is proving to be quite costly for automakers. The Wall Street Journal reports that's leading Ford Motors to resort to more layoffs. While Ford says it has nothing to announce, people familiar with the matter tell the Journal the job cuts in the coming weeks will streamline operations and reduce costs as the automaker spends heavily on a changeover to EVs. The layoffs are expected to mostly include U.S. salaried workers. Carmen Roberts, Fox News.
There was a sell-off on Wall Street with all three major U.S. indexes ending the day in the red. I'm Rich Dennison, and this is Fox News.
I'm Lauren Simonetti, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks falling for the day and week as hawkish comments from Fed officials continue to fuel worries of interest rates staying higher for longer. This week, a wave of interest rate hikes from international central banks revived worries about global economic growth. And more bank mergers could be on the horizon, according to Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, who said that weak second quarter bank earnings could lead some to seek mergers. And Bitcoin trading over $30,000 from shares of Coinbase rising over 6% after winning a Supreme Court case. Shares of 3M were up slightly after the industrial conglomerate agreed to pay up to $12.5 billion to settle lawsuits that said drinking water was contaminated by forever chemicals the company made for decades. The Dow falling 219 points, the NASDAQ down 138, S&P 500 down 34. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Hey, it's Jesse Kelly. We are, for the most part, a reactionary society. If your neighbor has a break-in, you think about getting an alarm. If your buddy gets laid off, you say, I better buckle down at work. If banks start closing, you may want to ask yourself if you should keep most or all of your money in a bank. It may be time for a portfolio protection plan. It may be time to have a little personal gold reserve. Call my friends at the Oxford Gold Group. Call 833-404-GOLD. That's 8.
The views expressed in the following show are those of the hosts or hosts only. They do not represent News Talk 96.5 KPL or Town Square Media.
It's the 5 o'clock gold rush hour on Offsides, brought to you by Coin and Treasure on West Congress, where they buy and sell gold and silver every day.
What's up, Acadiana, and welcome to Shannon is Offsides. I'm Shannon Wilkerson, here with Kevin Stockstill. Thanks for joining us for today's broadcast. We'll be with you till 6. It's currently 5:09, taking you home live and local on KPL 96.5 FM. Kevin Stockstill, is it legal every Friday from 4 to 6? How are you, sir?
Good, good.
If you are just tuning in the 5 o'clock hour, did some really good research and discussion on some unusual legal situations. Just for the record, to recap, you cannot stand in your window naked if the drapes are closed.
Ever. Open.
If the if the drapes are open.
Not a safe thing.
Not a safe thing to do. You might be able to if you're like away from
The farther away from the window, the better.
Yeah. Real quick, just to expand on that. Okay. All right. You're far enough. You're way over there.
Yeah.
Okay. Away from the window. The drapes are open. You're naked. But it's night. And the lights are on.
Yeah. Well, you know.
You.
Yeah. It's we're getting closer to the window.
We're getting closer. That's right, but you're way over there.
I know.
But there's no furniture, nothing blocking the view of people walking down the sidewalk and seeing your naked body.
We all know, you know, that when the drapes are open and the lights are on and it's dark, you got a clear view into the house. So the clearer the view, the closer you're getting to obscenity.
Okay. Yeah.
That's how I see it.
So the expectation of privacy does not always apply.
I mean, it does, but you know,
well, how private is it if you got the drapes open?
Well, exactly. How much privacy are you expecting if you have your drapes open?
Yeah. Wow. I wouldn't do it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I'm too uncomfortable with doing that. Even if I'm, like I said before, even if I'm at home alone, I get out of the shower, get dressed right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like
it. I grew up with, you know, I mean, I have daughters, so I'm second. I'm out of the shower. It's dressed.
Yeah. And, of course, I didn't...
Fully clothed, walking around the house.
Yeah.
Pretty much, period. Yeah.
And my brother has daughters. And of course, they're grown now. And something that he told me that I didn't know because I grew up in a family of boys.
Right.
Okay? I'm number four, all right? The baby, also known as the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, I know that at a certain age... when daughters get to a certain age, that the wall goes up. Okay, like the wall goes up, and it's a really strong wall about where the boundaries are for dad to go. You know, because I mean, when the daughter is a little girl, then the exposure doesn't really matter. But I think right around maybe 10 years old or something like that, you know, if you knock on the door, you might get barked at. Did you experience this?
Well, I kind of just let my wife run with that.
Yeah.
You know, I never saw the need, you know, to do it.
Yeah, okay.
So,
I'll be in the living room watching football.
Exactly.
Okay, definitely. Well, before we
handle
go to
that, please.
Yes. Yes. I'll be over here while you're over there.
Right. I'll go cut the grass.
Yes.
Deal with the kids.
And as I understand it, daughters and mothers go through three phases. The early phase is up that where they're very close up until about 15. Then the daughters hate the mothers. But then they come back around in the 20s when they realize that mom was always right. So I don't know that I know that doesn't apply everywhere, but from what I've been exposed to, it does. Before we go to our next is it legal question, I'll say this. A man with daughters never dies alone. Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, a man with daughters never dies alone, no matter what the circumstances are. Not the sons don't love their fathers as much, but they don't have that nurturing capability.
Yeah. Well, if you were good to your daughters, definitely. I think I agree with that.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. If you were mean, you're dying alone.
Probably.
Yeah. Because boy, they don't forget. No, they don't forget. Not at all.
I mean, my daughter still, it's like, you remember that time we were in Florida and you made me swim out to the, I don't know, they had some floaty thing out in the thing. I was like, come on, you're going. I mean, still, I was like, golly.
No, they don't remember that, huh? They don't forget. Neither do wives.
No.
Okay. No. Even more so because normally wives are more experienced daughters.
Exactly. Okay.
All right. Let's go to our next question. All right. Let's get into the current big story of the submarine. Okay, the private submarine that submerged. Luckily, I mean, it's not good. It's not lucky that that everyone died, but it was somewhat of a relief when I found out that the vessel imploded.
Yeah, it would have been instant.
It was instant. Okay, so let's talk a bit about the ramifications legally of that the families of these victims have. What case do they have against the company? Obviously, a strong civil case. But a lot of these victims were billionaires with a B. Does the fact that they have so much money have any bearing on what their reward would be in court?
I don't think so.
Okay, because it shouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
It really shouldn't. Because, you know, when you bring a wrongful death action, you know, you may not have as big of a loss of income claim.
Yeah.
It just depends on how, you know, your wealth was set up like that.
Sure.
If that was generated by, you know, working or it was already there and set up and now a lot of the income was generated, you know, by investments and whatnot that are still intact. But, boy, I wish we have some really great maritime personal injury and admiralty lawyers in our area.
I bet
and
in so. The state well, well with the oil field industry.
Yes, with the oil and gas industry. I mean, we really have on both sides, both the defense side, civil defense side, and the plaintiff side. So it'd be great to talk to some of them. So, you know, I know a little bit. These people, the victims were not American citizens, were they?
I don't know.
I think
the CEO was.
Was he? Okay. I thought possibly they were
a lot of them were definitely
from Europe or the United Kingdom.
Yeah, that's right.
But so in the United States, you know, I mean, we do have a federal law that applies to death on the high seas, which is, you know, we're in the high seas here. We're in international waters.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a federal statute called the Death on the High Seas Act, which would give a family of someone who died on the high seas,
mm-hmm.
you know, a negligence action. You know, could bring a lawsuit for mm-hmm. The wrongful death of their family member and all the damages that go with it. What mm-hmm. I don't know the answers whether or not a United States court would have jurisdiction over this case. That's why I'm asking, where's everybody from?
Because that brings me to my next question. Okay,
your jurisdiction question.
The jurisdiction. All right. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of information about this vessel having substandard equipment, all right?
Yeah.
When it comes to requirements, legal requirements of, like, for example, if you are going to have a charter boat, mm-hmm. all right, and you're going to take people offshore to go fishing, there are definitely requirements because now you're running a business. You're not taking your friends out fishing. You're charging people to come onto your vessel. You're taking them out, they're going fishing, and you get paid a fee for that. So obviously you've got employees, you've got a tax ID number, all the normal requirements for you to own and operate a business. But with that, there are certainly safety standards, Okay, you got to have life preservers. You've got to have fire suppression systems, things like that. So when it comes to safety requirements, are there safety requirements that are required, that are in place for a vessel that goes way out into the ocean? Okay, in other words, is there a point where the law does not apply to them if they are too far out to sea?
I don't believe so. No, I mean, I think those, I mean, you got to come in eventually. So you're going to come fall under someone's regulations.
Okay.
Right?
But only when you're in, okay, so that would apply out into sea simply because you left from a certain place and came back to a certain place.
Correct.
Okay. So, this vessel, it's clear that they probably did not have the required safety features. Okay.
Do you know where it was built?
And I don't.
Okay.
But I do know that they were controlling it with an old Nintendo handheld controller.
Wow.
Okay. And they also had equipment along the side of it. I think there were weights that were like welded on pipe. It, you know, there was definitely some design issues that were in place. And so I guess my question is that if they were in violation of any type of requirements that they are bound by law to have, mm-hmm. and they broke those, mm-hmm. could there be criminal charges?
Well, it would have to rise to the level of, I think we've talked about this before, criminal negligence.
Right.
Know, which is, you know, you have ordinary negligence, you have gross negligence, and then you got criminal negligence. I mean, mm-hmm. it's really, really egregious conduct. I just don't know that the defects would have to be so bad and so egregious, mm-hmm. you know, to rise to that level. Now, you remember the Deepwater Horizon?
Yes.
Now, there were criminal charges that came out of there.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, it's not, it's not
the difference
out of the
here.
Realm of possibility.
Yeah. Well, okay, where I find this to be unique is that now the only evidence is at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
And they're just tiny little pieces, whatever is left. So there really isn't any evidence that could be recovered. I also don't know of any records of inspections.
Right.
Okay, failed inspections. I think that would be a factor.
Yeah. I thought I read somewhere that someone, a former employee maybe of the company, had left because he was having...
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, if you've got a witness like that, and although you haven't had the inspections, you've got, you know, clear-cut evidence of a ton of violations, mm-hmm. you know, then you could potentially get to criminal negligence.
Yeah, I also believe that there was a pending lawsuit against the company regarding safety issues.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, there's no question, and whether or not a United States court is going to have jurisdiction over it, I mean, a United Kingdom, you know, court is going to have similar laws,
sure.
you know, that are going to compensate family for this kind of a loss. And I would think pretty much any nation in Europe. So whoever gets jurisdiction over, there's going to be something similar to the Death on the High Seas
yeah.
Act and those.
Tell you the problem that they're going to have is that the CEO was the pilot.
Yeah,
the CEO was the actual captain of the vessel. And
I wonder. I just can't remember if that company is an American company or if it's British. I don't know why I keep thinking about the United Kingdom.
But. Yeah, I don't know. Hey, welcome to Shannon's Offsides. Who's calling?
Hey guys, it's Scott.
Scott, what you got?
Hey, when it comes to doing these dangerous things, right? Like these guys, you know, and I'm sure they probably signed a ton of paperwork
waivers.
Saying that
yeah.
they weren't going to hold anybody liable and things like that. But isn't there still some sort of standard of like safety? Yeah, I mean, I know even though you sign all that paperwork, there has to be some sort of standard of safety or something, right? I mean, you know, I just can't sign my life away and say, hey, I'm going to jump out of this, or I'm going to go down to this submarine, and then, you know, it implodes and nothing's going to happen
yeah.
because I signed off my paperwork. There has to be some sort of standard.
Yeah, I would liken that to, let's say you're going to do a zip line, all right? Which,
yeah.
Okay, let's say you're going to do a zip line and they have the disclaimer and says, you realize I know that I could die doing this, all right? I know that I could have a heart attack. I know that something could go wrong. I could get seriously injured or I could die. Well, I tell you something. You got to sign the same thing when you have surgery. Not that that, you know, is a parallel, but nevertheless. So you get on this zip line and you're halfway through, you're zip lining through the mountains. And it breaks, and you fall, right? You fall, and you're dead,
right?
But then you find out that the zip line itself was had been faulty before. It was substandard. They had repaired it two or three times. And so even though you signed that disclaimer, I see where you're coming from. There should be an expectation of safety.
That's what I'm looking for.
There should be an expectation. Yeah. That's right. There should be an expectation of safety for the services that you are paying for. You should not have to inspect it personally before or after you sign the disclaimer. You with me?
Yes, and I think there's something, but I just can't remember the legal term for it. There is something there that says, yeah, even though you signed all these papers, you know, that the company still holds some liability when it comes to the, you know, when it comes to the operation, the safe operation of
yeah, good question.
Very good question.
And I think where they built it, I think the same place where they built all those propane tanks. I think it's where it got built at.
Yeah, Kevin, what are your thoughts?
Well, there's a ton of cases on, you know, when you know, disclaimers or these waivers, mm-hmm. you know, apply and what they don't apply. So that's been fully fleshed out. And I do believe, although I don't, you know, do that kind of work, I think the caller's right, you're right, that, you know, when you have this catastrophic safety failure and you have all these potential issues, mm-hmm. you're not really signing up for that.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine that when you sign this disclaimer, that it is the under the reasonable expectation that the equipment is up to the standard that right. That you are hiring it to perform at.
Correct.
Hey, thanks for the call, man. All right, so we are going to take this break. When we come back, we're going to discuss more of if is it legal. We got some callers holding on. Appreciate that. 232-1542. Give us a call. But first, your J&J Exterminating Pest of the Day.
Time to call in the experts. It's the J&J Pest of the Day.
All right, so this is very interesting. There's a restaurant called Tanqueray Garibaldi. And what this restaurant did was they hired a fake priest to get confessions from their employees. They prodded employees to confess their sins. And what they were doing is they were trying to get dirt on their employees. They were trying to find out if they were stealing from the company. And so this gives us two pests today. The first pest is the company itself that hired the fake priest. But let's not give the fake priest a pass. That's another pest. All right. So I tell you what, it is a very interesting approach to trying to find out someone's secrets. If they could be coerced into confessing to a priest that would then tell you all the dirt on them. So this restaurant. Let's see, what is it? Tanqueray Garibaldi and the fake priest is your pests of the day. Brought to you by J&J Exterminating, Louisiana's largest independently owned pest control company, online at jjext.com.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go inside for a comment. Apparently, they have no comment. Dads, let this be a reminder that it only takes a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's the 5 o'clock gold rush hour on Offsides, brought to you by Coin and Treasure on West Congress, where they buy and sell gold and silver every day.
Welcome back to Shannon is Offsides. I got Kevin Stock still here. Is it legal every Friday from 4 to 6? Kevin is an experienced defense attorney, been practicing his whole career right here in Lafayette. And, you know, I would imagine that if you ever had the unfortunate experience of going to prison, you probably have a lot of friends. You know, maybe not. Might be the other way around.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, hey, yeah, this guy represented me, but he lost. Now here I am. Hope that doesn't happen.
Not often.
I don't think it's... No, I mean, you going to prison.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, I didn't think so. No. I didn't think so.
Kevin's not going to prison.
Kevin is not going to prison. That's exactly right. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, welcome to Shannon is Offsides. Who's calling? Caller, you there? Hey, you're on, man.
Hey, man. So I'm a ex-Navy sailor, and I'm not sure if you guys brought this up, but it's called international maritime law. Once you go a certain mileage off of any coastline of any country, there is I guess it's some kind of Geneva Convention type stuff. But there is international law that all seafaring vessels have to abide by. Treasure hunters, cargo ships, military, it enforces against piracy and all kind of different things, man. Now, I don't know what the entity is that enforces international maritime law, but, yeah, just wanted to bring that up.
It's interesting. Well, like Kevin said, there's a lot of attorneys right here in Lafayette that specialize in that and have built very successful careers about mainly because of the oil field industry.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a ton of admiralty law. Yeah. I mean, just a ton, you know, because, I mean, and it's some of the oldest laws that have been on the books forever because people have been shipping things.
Oh, yeah.
For hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah,
and hundreds.
Centuries of years.
Exactly. And so, right. I mean, you have admiralty law that goes back to Roman times and the Phoenicians and... I mean, you know, there's a ton of admiralty.
Yeah, when it was legal to walk the plank. you know what I mean? It's legal.
Yes.
You screw up, man, you walk in the plank.
No, there's going to be, in this debacle, there's going to be some very high-powered admiralty and maritime law specialists that are going to be dealing with this.
Well, they're foaming at the mouth on this one.
What country is going to grab jurisdiction on this?
I don't know. We were wondering the same thing, whether or not the United States courts would have jurisdiction or
Is it an international court?
I don't think so. I think wherever the families are located, that I would assume that, you know, what I would do if I were representing them, I'm going to find whichever law has the most favorable laws, and if I can get that court to have jurisdiction, well, that's where I'm going.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call, man. Welcome, Shannon is Offsides. Who's calling?
Hey, this is Ben.
Ben, what you got for Kevin?
Hey, this is what I want to say on that submarine thing. Earlier, somebody said after signing that waiver, you shouldn't have to be the one to inspect. But I want to compare the CEO of that company and the richest passenger that was on board. Now, if the CEO knew that passenger was that rich, why would he have not expressed the concerns and said, look, we may have to totally redesign this thing. Wait till we get something that is a lot better.
Well,
would you want to front some money for that?
Well, okay, let me give you my opinion about that, okay? Let me give you my opinion on that, okay? Everybody that rode on that vessel, every time that they've been doing it, it's $250,000 a person. So everybody that rode on that vessel is rich. But more importantly, at least in my opinion, is that if the CEO was not confident in the integrity of the vessel, he wouldn't have gone on it. The CEO was the captain on this trip. He got crushed too. But I hear what you're saying. I mean, when you're exposed to something, I don't know that the CEO believed there was anything wrong with it. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone down in it. Thanks for the call. And let's not fool ourselves. I don't know what the net worth of the CEO was, but something tells me he's pretty well off. You know, I mean, look, $250,000 arrived, and there's four people plus the captain. That's $1 million a day. Not bad.
Not bad.
Yeah, until something goes wrong.
Right.
Maybe invest in a better controller than the Nintendo.
Oh, my God.
Hey, welcome, Shannon. It's Offsides. Who's calling?
Hey, this is Will.
Will, what are your thoughts? Got a question?
Well, no, I just wanted to comment on something you were talking about earlier about whether they signed waivers against possible injury. And to my knowledge, for, I don't know, at least 30 or 40 years that I've heard of this, you can sign a waiver against an injury, but the waiver is no good in the case of death. So if you can't waive the risk of death, is what I've always understood of that. And that, I've been explained that by a couple of lawyers that said you can't sign a waiver against the risk
against
of death.
Injury.
You can sign a waiver against.
I got it. Kevin, is there a significant difference when it comes to signing a waiver that acknowledges that you might die, or signing a waiver and the same waiver and the weight that it carries for injury?
Well, I think in the state of Louisiana, I don't think these waivers hold up
for anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't think you can waive risk of injury or death.
You know, it seems like for a legal document like that to have even the slightest bit of credibility or validity, then it would have to be notarized. It would have to be written and agreed upon between two parties and their legal representatives, and it would have to be notarized for it to have any weight or significance whatsoever. But you and I, just on the street, all right, is, hey, look, man, I've got this waiver. You need to sign it for me to be able to do, you know, for me to put you on the zip line, bungee jump, any of that kind of stuff. I don't see how that could carry any legal representation in any way.
I don't think it does in Louisiana. Now, yeah. Again, you know, what law is going to apply here to that event? You know, who knows? I mean, it could be a number of countries.
Thanks for the call. Welcome, Shannon. It's Offsides. Who's calling?
Cassandra.
Cassandra, what you got for Kevin Stockstill today?
I have a question for Mr. Kevin, the JD. Now, suppose these billionaires have life insurance policies of like 10, 15 million. Does the insurance company have to pay off?
I guess unless, you know, there's an exclusion in the policy that prohibits, you know, like I have a life insurance policy and I can't scuba dive. And I can't skydive.
Yeah, I had the same thing.
If they have that kind of an exclusion, I mean, it seems like this is a pretty dangerous activity.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they have some kind of clause in the life insurance that says you can't do certain dangerous activities, then that could prevent the life insurance from paying out.
Yeah, I have the exact same thing. A lot of questions about do I or have I ever skydiven? Actually, there was a what, dived?
Yeah,
what is it, skydived?
I guess.
Divin?
I don't know.
I don't know either. You're the one with the law
Tom
degree.
Tom Cruise is uninsurable.
I'll bet. Yeah, action right. Adventure people. I would imagine.
Deal where he's parachuting off of a motorcycle, you know, in this new movie he did.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think highly dangerous things, they may be an exclusion in that policy. That's okay. A good question.
Yeah, I think Tom Cruise excludes there, but he's probably worth $500 or $600 million. So what?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You don't need insurance.
Wait, who's worth $500 or $600 million?
$500.
$500 million. Yeah, Tom Cruise. Yeah, he's coming up on $1 billion.
I would think after that latest blockbuster.
He's short, but he's cute.
Yeah, well, I met that guy a long time ago. I met him at Pat O'Brien's, and it was, I was surprised how short he was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he's not as short as Prince. Just for the record, okay? He's not Prince short. Hey, thanks for the call, man. All right, let's go to our final break. When we come back, I've got another few is it legal questions for defense attorney Kevin Stockstill. Stay tuned.
News Talk 96.5 KPL, broadcasting from the Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management Studios. Find out more about how they can help you at matthew-james.com.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
If you really want to support our troops, just contact the USO.
You can't believe how much they do for us.
To find out how you can help, visit us at uso.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
All right, welcome back to Shanada's Offsides. 232-1542, if you want to jump in and ask defense attorney Kevin Stockstill any questions or comment on any of the issues that we have discussed. All right, a few more is it legal questions for counselor here. All right, now this is a question that probably hits home for you as well as it does me because we live in the same neighborhood. What age is it legal to drive a street legal golf cart? Because I'm going to tell you something. I see these kids flying all over my neighborhood in these golf carts. And I mean, they're going 20 miles an hour or so. Not only are they clearly not old enough to have a driver's license, but you got four or five other kids stacked up all over the place.
I think you got to have a driver's license.
I would think
if
so.
If it's street legal and you're on the street.
Yeah.
I mean, you're operating a motor. I mean, it's a motor vehicle.
Well, it's electric, but that counts.
I don't know. Some of them, I think, are gas. And I mean, they're pretty quick.
They're pretty quick. Now, what about golf carts that are just golf carts and not necessarily street legal?
I don't think you can be on the street.
There you go.
Because you don't have the necessary, you know, the turning signals and the.
You have to have an inspection sticker.
And, you know,
yeah.
I don't think you can. I think you have to have a driver's license.
Yeah. Okay. So, kids flying around the neighborhood. All right, and he's on this street legal golf cart, and he doesn't have a driver's license, and the police pull him over. Okay, what would be the next step? Would they be arrested? I mean, because you can't write them a ticket if they don't have a driver's license.
No, you can. You can issue them a summons for no driver's license in possession, or I'm certain that there's I don't think I've ever represented anybody for, being underage, not being of the requisite driving age, or to be operating a vehicle without ever having obtained a driver's license. But yeah, I mean, they'll issue a traffic summons violation, and then you're a juvenile, so you're heading to juvenile court, juvenile traffic.
And you
court.
Certainly can't drive away.
No.
Okay. So could they confiscate the golf cart?
They might. Especially if you can't get a parent on the phone and it's going to have to be parked. You know, like sometimes I'll have clients that get DWIs, so I mean they can't get in their car and drive. So a decision needs to be made about what we're going to do with the car. It's either getting towed or it's getting parked.
Okay.
You know, or somebody needs, sometimes the police officer lets you call family to see if they can come get it. Because some people don't want to park it, you know.
And clearly these golf carts, if they're street legal and they're on the street, got to have insurance.
Yeah, but you have to have a driver. I checked. You have to have a driver's license. You're driving a street legal golf cart, zipping around River Ranch.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, and they are zipping around fast. Yeah. I almost had an accident with one of them a few months ago. They came flying around a corner, and they almost turned over.
Yeah.
And, there was probably four or five kids on it. When I say kids, they were teenagers, maybe 14, 15 years old. Yep. And, like all 15, 14, 15-year-old teenagers, They still are suffering from some sort of brain damage. They have not grown out of the brain damage.
Right, not yet.
And so they all thought it was funny.
Well, and speaking of our neighborhood, you know what else has been zipping around with kids on it and almost ran me over was those bicycles that have like engines on them.
They're electric bicycles.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, they go fast.
They go fast. Now, that's another thing.
These kids are doing like 30 on one of these electric bicycles.
So I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I'm really curious about those electric bicycles and what safety features they have to have. Because, and this is one of my big pet peeves, is that you can ride your bicycle in a street lane. Okay, you can ride your bicycle right down Johnson Street in the middle of the lane, and you don't have to have headlights, you don't have to have brake lights, you don't need turning signals. I don't even know if you have to have a helmet. So when it comes to electric bicycles, at what point do you go from what is a bicycle that is pedaling to a legal or what should be a street legal operating two-wheeled vehicle on the street?
You asking me?
I'm just in theory. I'm asking you.
We're on new ground. I didn't even know they really existed until I almost got run over by one last week.
Boy, they're zipping all over the place.
They really are.
Yeah, you're right. They're going 20, 30 miles an hour.
At least. And these kids didn't even have helmets on.
Well, I mean, when you're that young, you're bulletproof.
And I mean, I don't want to be a jerk. I'm not going to like wave them down or anything. I'm really just concerned more about their safety.
Yeah.
You know, and some of the neighbors, because I mean, they're really going pretty fast.
Yeah. They're clipping along.
Yeah.
Welcome, Shannon, is Offsides. Who's calling?
Hey, man, this is Big C.
Big C, how are you?
Good, man. Good. Going home. Anyway, I am a driving instructor, and I did a search a few weeks back on golf carts because I had one of my students ask me. This is what I found out. In Louisiana, you do not need a license or a permit to drive a golf cart, but you do need to stay in the designated area for it.
And what is the designated area?
Wherever they say golf carts are allowed. Although I've never seen, that I can recall, a place that said for golf carts. So, you know, Louisiana, it's kind of vague, but that's the only information that I could find on golf carts.
Well, I'll tell you what. If I'd have known what I know right now, 20 years ago, I would have started a golf cart company or a golf cart repair company, because, you know, they got the villages down there in Florida, the great big retirement area. Well, everybody's got golf carts, and there's thousands of tenants there, and they have very busy, lucrative businesses there that do golf cart repairs, because, they all have golf carts. And all right, thanks. Thanks, Big C. Good point. I tell you another thing about the villages, Kevin. You know what they have a lot of in the villages?
What's that?
VD. Yes, sexually transmitted diseases are all over the villages. The villages where the retirement people are. Chlamydia runs wild. You think I'm joking? I'm not, man. You know, they have a whole new lease on life. Hey, welcome to Shannon is Offsides. Who's calling? Caller, you there? Hey, Tribe. Yeah, it's you. Hurry up. We're running out of time.
Hey, running out of time. Let's go back and talk about the electric carts and all that. How about the illegal immigrants that are driving the tractors?
That's a good question. What about all those illegal immigrants driving tractors? You know, hey, look, you could drive a tractor on the street in Louisiana when sugarcane harvest is going on. I can tell you that much. I've been behind them many times. But if they're illegal immigrants and they don't have a driver's license, no tractor driving. Fair enough?
I mean,
we get all kinds here on Shannon is Offsides. Kevin, Always good to have you.
Good to be
Very
here.
Very interesting every Friday from 4 to 6 to have Kevin Stockstill here for Is It Legal?
We'll see what happens in the law of the week so we can have some things to talk about.
Absolutely. Next week. Be back Monday, 4 o'clock, here on Shannon Is Offside.
News commentary.
Hunter Biden truly is the deadbeat dad of the year. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Hey, it's Jesse Kelly. We are, for the most part, a reactionary society. If your neighbor has a break-in, you think about getting an alarm. If your buddy gets laid off, you say, I better buckle down at work. If banks start closing, you may want to ask yourself if you should keep most or all of your money in a bank. It may be time for a portfolio protection plan. It may be time to have a little personal gold reserve. Call my friends at the Oxford Gold Group. Call 833-404-GOLD. That's 833-404-GOLD.
Hunter Biden get a sweetheart plea deal for his tax evasion and illegal possession of a firearm. He also managed to reduce his child support payments to the mother of the young daughter he fails to acknowledge. Because Hunter Biden settled with his baby mama, London Roberts, out of court, we will never know the amount he has agreed to pay, but we do know it will be reduced from the $20,000 a month he was ordered to pay and has been fighting tooth and nail to reduce. He received millions from foreign entities sitting on boards of companies he had no skills to sit on, but he can't pony up $20,000 a month for his innocent four-year-old daughter? A daughter he refuses to lend his last name to, and a granddaughter the big guy Joe Brandon still refuses to acknowledge at all? Wow, I gotta tell you guys, these Bidens, they really have brought all the decency and morality back to the White House just as they promised. Not? I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show Tommy Lahren is Fearless at Outkick.com.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Louisiana.
This message presented by the LHSAA and the Louisiana High School Athletic Directors Association.
Bikers Against Child Abuse, BACA, exists with the intent to create a safer environment for abused children. We exist as a body of bikers to empower children to not feel afraid of the world in which they live. We stand ready to lend support to our wounded friends by involving them with an established, united organization. We work in conjunction with local and state officials who are already in place to protect children. We desire to send a clear message to all involved with the abused child that this child is part of our organization and that we are prepared to lend our physical and emotional support to them by affiliation and our physical presence. We stand at the ready to shield these children from further abuse. We do not condone the use of violence or physical force in any manner. However, if circumstances arise such that we are the only obstacle preventing a child from further abuse, we stand ready to be that obstacle. If you'd like to know more about BACA, please visit our website at bacaworld.org or call 1-866-71-ABUSE.
He ran for state office and was beaten. Started a business and failed. Ran for Congress and lost. But thankfully, Abraham Lincoln didn't give up. Persistence. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
News Talk 96.5 KPL, Brobridge, Lafayette. Broadcasting from the Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management Studios, online at matthew-james.com.
High Court ruling on migration. I'm Rich Dennison, Fox News. The Supreme Court today siding with the Biden administration on a border enforcement policy.
An 8-1 ruling by the Supreme Court concludes Texas and Louisiana have no standing to sue the Biden administration for prioritizing which immigrants in the country illegally are deported. The case stemmed from Homeland Security guidance restricting border officials to target deportations for recent border crossers, public safety threats, and national security threats over other immigrants living in the country illegally. A lower court blocked the DHS policy, and the Supreme Court initially prevented the enforcement guidance to take effect while the case moved through appeals.
Fox's Jared Halpern. The deadly implosion of the Titan submersible and death of five aboard is raising questions about whether the vessel was destined for disaster because of its unconventional design and its creator's refusal to submit to safety checks that are standard in the industry. Outside experts say the design and construction of the submersible put greater stress on its structure, and others say the company's failure to submit to outside safety testing posed additional concerns. The Republican-led House received bipartisan support, reversing President Biden's mortgage rule, with 14 Democrats voting to overturn that rule.
According to bank rates analysis, for homeowners looking to take out a $350,000 mortgage, people with good credit under Biden's rules are paying $1,300 more in fees. People with bad credit are paying $2,600 less in fees. But Democrats are brushing off concerns from Republicans that these rules don't help everyone in the middle class. It hurts the middle class who are financially responsible.
Fox's Hillary Vaughn. A grand jury in Ohio indicts 32-year-old Chad Dorman on murder, kidnapping, and assault charges. He's accused of fatally shooting his 3-, 4-, and 7-year-old sons. America is listening to Fox News.
Okay, next time you're at the store, I dare you to not think about the unmistakable fresh, clean scent of Irish Spring. Yeah, you heard me. I want you to resist picturing a shower filled with those sensational Irish Spring suds. And if you succeed, well, you got what my gramps used to call resolutitude. Not a real word, but let's be honest, you're probably going to end up leaving with Irish Spring because of its irresistible scent and because you have zero resolutitude. Pick up Irish Spring at Walmart today.
If you're hiring, it can feel like trying to find a needle in a haystack. You can hope the right person comes along, or you can just use ZipRecruiter. Like Marco, president of operations at Telly Tires and Auto Centers.
ZipRecruiter helps me find all the right people, even the most difficult jobs to fill.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Now try ZipRecruiter free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/FREE.
Lawmakers are reacting to whistleblower allegations surrounding the handling of cases involving President Biden's son.
House Republicans have voted to release testimony from 2 IRS whistleblowers claiming the Justice Department interfered with the investigation into Hunter Biden's taxes and foreign business dealings.
They delayed, they divulged, and they denied numerous examples.
House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Jason Smith released the testimony from Greg Shapley and another agent whose testimony says the IRS delayed enforcement actions before elections. Democrats like House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries accusing Republicans of playing politics.
So no, this is not serious. Period. Full stop.
The allegations were denied by the Department of Justice. In Washington, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
Tropical storm Cindy has formed behind tropical storm Brett. Forecasters say it's the first time there are 2 storms in the tropical Atlantic in June since record-keeping began. Meta, the parent company of Facebook and Instagram, saying it's going to pull news articles from platforms in Canada.
The Canadian Parliament passed a new law that would require tech companies to pay local news outlets for linking their articles in the latest push by governments around the world to force companies like Google and Facebook to pay for the news they share on their platforms. Ottawa has said the law creates a level playing field between online advertising giants and the shrinking news industry. But Meta says they'll comply by ending news availability on Facebook and Instagram for its Canadian users. The bill will come to force 6 months after it receives royal assent. Gianna Gelosi, Fox News.
Honda's recalling nearly 1.2 million vehicles in the U.S. because the rearview camera image may not appear on the dashboard screen. That recall covers certain Odyssey minivans from 2018 to 2023, as well as Pilot SUVs and Passport SUVs. I'm Rich Dennison, and this is Fox News.